Welcome to this week's Third Opinion Podcast. We recorded our show this week before the tragedy in Boulder, where Jews showing their support for the hostages were attacked with Molotov cocktails in an obvious hate crime. We'll have plenty to say about that next week. This week, though, we take on two blood libels as Douglas Murray explains to a journalist that there is not genocide going on in Gaza, and former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett tells another journalist, no, Israel is not starving the people in Gaza. That and so much more, and don't forget, you can get your third opinion wherever you download your podcast. And now, this week's Third Opinion Podcast. Good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening, whenever you're listening to us. This is the Third Opinion Podcast. I'm Mike Deason.
This is Lorene in Tampa.
And Lorene, we have a lot of stuff today with a lot of falsehood about Israel. We have two great pieces that refute two of the biggest blood libel lies that we have been hearing since October 7th, really, that I think everybody's going to be interested in. I found them both fascinating.
And honestly, Mike, it sort of speaks to even the unbelievable blood libel on some of the largest media outlets in the world.
Okay, that's a great place to start. Let's talk about this. There were false reports put out by Hamas that there was a massacre as people were trying to get food.
So the BBC picks up on it, and the BBC actually, their headline was 26 dead after tanks opened fire on civilians waiting for food. That was the BBC headline. CNN then parrots it. Their headline says 31 killed by Israel. This is a lie. Never
and then
happened.
Fox picked it up as well, Reuters. Everybody.
But I think, yeah, because so BBC is, as we know, is the main BBC, like the AP newswire. They're the newswires, and then all the other media outlets picks up on BBC and AP. BBC is one of the largest blood libel spreaders in the world today. They're just as bad as any major TikTok social media outlet that there is out there. They literally pick up on what Hamas says and run with it without confirming anything, without verifying anything, without any questions. Nobody died. There was no massacre. Nobody was shot and killed by Israel. In fact, as the IDF soldiers were protecting the civilians getting food, we do know for a fact that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is the U.S.-backed aid group that Israel and the United States negotiated to have bring in the aid, distributed in 6 days alone over 4.7 million meals to Gazan civilians. 4.7 million meals in 6 days. And that's huge. That was as of May 31.
And I want to get to the fact that it was found that there was tons of food in a warehouse that Hamas had stolen. But let's finish up on this thing. So this is a real problem, because it seems to me whenever a theoretically legitimate outlet like the BBC puts out something that says bad Jews, everybody hops on it before they even check it out.
This is a real problem, Mike. I mean, and what we do know,
video, the thing that disproved it, because they'd never believe us, there was a video on a cell phone showing the Israeli troops were there trying to help and protect people. Nobody was dead.
No one was hurt. But there are a couple of more things here. So first of all, so along those lines, other reports that came out in the WAPO, the Washington Post, and, you know, and the Independent, all the others jumped right on it too. So there were reports of an actual Israel released video of Hamas operatives opening fire on civilians that were trying to wait in line. So that actually did in fact happen. And the UN condemned the U.S. aid scheme in Gaza after Israel opens fire on the crowd. The UN official literally blames Israel, and Washington Post runs with the story. And so did the Independent. And they're like, this is video of a Hamas terrorist attacking civilians waiting for aid. And then And then we do know that there was more video that came out this week where civilians in Gaza raided a Hamas compound. They found a warehouse where Hamas was storing food, humanitarian aid that was meant for the civilian population. And there were a few Hamas terrorists that were there guarding the warehouse, and they began to shoot on the civilians that were raiding the food that actually belonged to
The
them, that
food that
Hamas had
Israel had
stolen.
stored before they started the blockade.
Right.
That's
That
right.
that Hamas had stolen. And so all this is, to coming to light. By the way, the Tablet magazine did a great piece this week exposing the famine lie caused by Hamas, like this whole thing, and how media has been picking up on these stories, but that what's really happening right now, and the food being supplied and everything that Israel's done to supply so much food and aid to these people, which, by the way, that's in the midst, Mike, of any reports coming out this week of the IDF. As they continue to work through Gaza and the different areas, finding bags. Oh, they said hundreds of Gaza homes where they have found bags full of bombs in UNRWA sacks. And they said, and the head of the IDF said, there has not been an UNRWA, there's not been a
For
single
people who
UNRWA
don't know,
school.
United Nations Relief Agency that's supposed to provide relief in Gaza. That's a
And
UN
that's nothing.
agency.
What it
And the
really is,
UN,
it's
listen, the Undersecretary General was Tom Fenton. Well, I can't, it's
Fletcher,
Tom's.
Tom Fletcher, who is a blood libelous idiot.
He is the one that helped propagate this rumor just as well. He went
Oh,
out and he was
absolutely.
quoted as saying, "Oh yeah, this went on, blah 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 blah."
He was on Christy. So a couple of things. So he was on Christiane Amanpour's show where he said, and he confirmed it. He said, oh, there are over 10,000 aid trucks that we've been waiting, that were just outside of Gaza. We've been waiting for Israel to open the gates to let them in to help prevent people from starving. Oh, and he goes, and she goes, there's 10,000. He's like, yes. And Israel's like, there's no 10,000. Israel's like literally showing live video footage. Like, we don't know what he's talking about, but he's lying. And this is the same man, Tom
That's number
Fletcher.
one thing, but he did something
But
else this week, told another lie.
this is the same man, Mike, who lied about 14,000 babies dying in 48 hours
That's what we wanted. Yes.
that
Four, he said.
resulted, yeah, that re literally resulted in two young people, Yaron Lischinsky and Sarah Milgram being literally bullets in their bodies executed at point blank range by Elias Rodriguez. If this results in actual violence, the blood libel results in death of Jews,
But okay, there
period.
weren't 14,000 babies that were going to
To
die
stop,
in the next
no,
day. They
or
might have
48
been
hours or
malnourished
48
or
years.
whatever. But yeah,
No,
but people
the
put.
whole number was a lie. The whole number was just a random number he
Well,
picked out of the
whatever
sky.
he made up, but this guy is the Undersecretary General of the United Nations. It is frightening. And so theoretically, he has credibility. He says it. The media picks up on it, and here we go. I do want to tell you one other thing about the BBC. I saw a speaker this week online, and people were complaining about Al Jazeera, which is an Arab-owned news service. We actually played some clips from them, but they're usually pretty prejudiced against Israel. And they said, yeah, it's tough dealing with all the lies when you've got an organization like Al Jazeera out there. And he said, actually, I think the BBC is worse.
Yeah, I heard
Because
someone
it's.
that they said
Did you hear? And because
at least
it.
Al Jazeera will interview me and let me say what I want to say. But when I go on the BBC, they pre-interview me and they
Oh,
don't
that's
even.
right. That's
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
they
Who was
pre-interview
it
and
that
they.
said that? I saw
I can't.
that
Oh my
interview.
God, I can't. Oh my God, I can't. Oh, was that Jason Greenblatt this week? That might have
Oh
been Jason Greenblatt.
it was Jason Greenblatt. That's
He's
right.
like,
That's
they don't even let me go on the air. They won't even let me say anything because
yeah.
they don't want truth out there. I mean, it's
They don't.
really incredulous. But I just want to go back to this because even IDF this week released a couple of statistics. They said there has not been an UNRWA school, not an UNRWA hospital, not an UNRWA building, nothing where they have not found weapons, period. And it's 600 days into the war, and Israel reported there have been over 30,000 projectiles, as missiles, rockets, etc., being launched into Israel that the media never talks about. 30,000 intended into civilian populations, intended to maim and kill as many civilians as possible. So I want to put that number out there just to remind everyone, because I know the media doesn't talk about it. Mike and I don't bring it up that often, but it's very important that we don't forget that this is a war. Israel has had to deal with this, whether it was coming from the Houthis or it's coming from Hezbollah or it was coming from Iran or predominantly in the beginning of the war from Hamas. This is real, and this is continues to be Israel's struggle. But Mike, I thought the other big news this week that was just so unbelievably shocking. I actually want to open it because I want to actually read what they wrote. Was from the Democratic Socialist Party of America.
This is horrible. This
I mean,
is horrible.
This is beyond.
I agree.
I mean, this is really disgusting. And I just, by the way, I want to, before I read the statement released by the Democratic Socialist Party of America this week, I want to remind all our listeners that there are two very proud members of this party that still remain in the United States Congress. One is Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the darling from New York, and Rashida Tlaib. So,
But let me
and
let me
quote
before you. And I agree. This is horrible. But in that debate, because I watched that whole debate with Rahm Emanuel and Greenblatt, Rahm Emanuel said this group, the progressive left, does not represent the mainstream Democratic Party.
I don't disagree with that statement. I just wish the Democratic Party would actually say that and make that more clear and
well,
why they let
Rahm
why they
Emanuel,
let
Rahm
why they
Emanuel
let AOC.
was not shy about saying that
no,
at all.
But listen, I understand, but they have not shut down AOC. In fact,
No, but
AOC
yeah,
has been like
I
the
have
darling
a real problem. Go ahead, read this thing.
This statement
is
really
terrible. This
yeah,
is
no,
just
it's horrific. So they released, they actually say excellent statement that we are proud to add to our name to. Free Elias Rodriguez and all political prisoners. And here's the statement. That was, by the way, DSA says this. Quote, the Palestinian struggle is the tip of the spear against global imperialism. As imperialism has made the entire world its battlefield, it is justified to fight it by any means necessary without regard for geography. This holds especially true for those of us struggling behind enemy lines inside the United States, an entity that is an equal party in all crimes committed by the Zionists. Whether in the besieged Gaza Strip, the Red Sea, the south of Lebanon, or the heart of the United States, there must be consequences for genocidal Zionist imperialism, and those consequences are righteous.
I don't know what to say. I'm really flabbergasted. I read it, I've seen it, and I honestly don't know what to say.
I'm stunned.
Totally.
I'm stunned, and I'm also stunned that, you know, AOC hasn't condemned it yet, nor has Rashida
Yeah,
Tlaib.
the one that I
I
thought
mean,
would condemn
Congressman,
it,
yeah.
I
I mean,
thought AOC, quite candidly, I thought AOC would condemn it. And I hope somebody this week who's up on Capitol Hill will go to her and ask her about that.
I mean,
Seriously.
I'm telling you, like Congressman
You
Richie
know
Torres
what?
was
You know
very
what I'll
quick
do?
to
Wait,
condemn it.
let's do this. Tomorrow, I know how to do this. I've called congressional offices. I'll call the media person and ask if she has a statement about it. And
That's
I'll
great.
report back next week.
I would love to see a statement from her office on this.
I know how to do that. That's, hey, the other thing that really caught my attention, and I found something right before we went on the air. First, the MIT Jewish students walked out of graduation ceremonies because the woman who was giving a speech said that MIT was participating in genocide by
Yes.
supporting Israel.
And I, a friend of mine, a Jewish mother, her son was part of the graduation class, and she was absolutely horrified. And, the question is, just like, what happened, what was it at CUNY or Columbia the other week? Like, why didn't the university, as they normally do, vet the speeches first? And
Well,
why was
yeah,
that allowed? But it wasn't just there.
sometimes
It also happened at
the,
Harvard, Mark. It also happened at
yeah,
Harvard.
the one at Harvard, though, as I understand it, the speech was switched from the one that was submitted. I might be wrong about that, but I think that the student gave a speech and they approved it, and
but
then.
But what was disturbing, and yes, the Jewish students walked out at MIT, but let me tell you something. There were massive applauds in the crowd, and at Harvard, massive applauds in the crowd. Can you just imagine being a Jewish student there or a Jewish parent with your student, and you're
Oh
so
yeah,
excited, so
it's a
proud.
happy day. Yeah, right. And it, exactly. It's terrible. But I thought I read somewhere right before we went on the air, about her being, she didn't get all her graduation, whatever she was supposed to do. There
Well,
was a thing.
I mean, I hope so. Like, all I know is that at least there was one other university last week who was withholding a diploma from another student. I think it was at CUNY or Columbia. I forget where we talked about
Yeah,
it.
I think it was at Columbia. I think
But
you're
it's
right.
like,
Yeah.
how long can you withhold it? I don't know. But this is, you know, I mean, for the Jewish students, I mean, for the love of God, enough is enough. Like, at some point, the universities just stop the madness. Stop it. You
I
have
can't.
the 1964 Civil Rights Act says you cannot allow this to happen. You have a duty and a responsibility to protect your students from discrimination, period. I mean,
Well, this
at
shows.
some point, enough is enough.
I'll show how old I am. When I graduated college, our keynote speaker was Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I don't know.
we've come a long way from Uncle Walter to these crazy, crazy speeches.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to
Oh,
hear me
cool.
praise Marco Rubio, who I've been disappointed in. I knew Marco when he was in the Florida legislature and even when he was senator. But anyway, he said this week the phrase free Palestine is absolute Jew hatred. And it
It
is.
is.
It is. You know, basically what it means is get the Jews out of Israel. I
Well,
mean.
I just mean complete the ethnic cleansing of the Middle East and Northern Africa. Complete the genocide that we started, you know, 100 plus years ago, where we ethnically cleansed them from Morocco, Tunisia, from Libya, from Egypt, from Iraq, the Farhud. We're actually on June 1. This is the anniversary of the Farhud in Iraq, where the large Jewish community was massacred and there was a genocidal attack there in 1911. You know, they pretty much erase us from the entire Middle East, and the only place that we remain is Israel, and they just want to complete their ethnic cleansing of us. I mean, I you know, and it goes back to the same issue here, Mike, where people always forget, like, Muslims are the predominant colonizers of the world. You know, people forget that Arab Muslims did not exist in most of the Middle East, and they certainly didn't exist in Northern Africa. Most of the nations
Well,
in
they didn't
Africa,
exist
including
before the
Egypt.
Jews occupied what is now Israel and Jerusalem.
No, they never.
It was, Islam wasn't
Islam
founded at when the Jews.
wasn't founded until like 600, 700, the Common Era. And then their first major wave of jihad, the first global jihad, occurred in the 700s, and it was like convert or die, and like they slaughtered all of the people in Egypt and all over Northern Africa and Southern Europe and into the Middle East, into Saudi Arabia, into Israel, Jerusalem as well, and all of those areas. Like, I mean, and that was like the original first massive wave of jihad and colonization by them. So let's not forget that. Like, they are not from the land of Israel. And I think this is really important. We have to remember this as they try to rewrite history on us. But I also thought, since you brought, I wanted to bring up Paris this week. I mean,
Yeah.
we've seen there, as of the
This
news
is
this morning.
frightening. It's
Yeah.
reminiscent of the 1930s
1930s,
to me.
100%. There were
Explain what
five.
happened.
Yeah, there were five Jewish institutions, including synagogues, memorials, businesses, that were brutally vandalized and attacked overnight. You know, and we're just, this is an ongoing
Put
pattern
those
that we're
pictures
seeing.
in black and white and put them side by side what went on in Germany. Show Kristallnacht and you will get goosebumps.
You know, and what's amazing to me, and then, you know, Macron this week, who I just think is a blithering idiot. You know, I mean,
Well,
he
apparently his
like,
wife does too. Did you
yeah,
see what
yeah, no,
she's
yes,
left?
I did.
And then he goes, "Oh, we were just playing." Yeah.
You know, I just, this man, so obviously he's
But
like,
I thought he
obviously.
was friendlier to the Jews than a lot of the right wing people in France are. I might be wrong, but I thought.
I don't think so. I mean, look, France has suffered horrific radical Islamist terrorist crimes. I mean, when you think about all the Islamic radical terrorism that France has had in just the last 10 years, from the Jewish day school to the newspaper and the slaughtering there, to the restaurants and where they were slaughtering everybody in Paris, and like, just, and then what was it in the Saint-Tropez when they were running them down and killing countless people, like so many terrorist attacks that go beyond the Jewish community. I mean, the Jewish community has suffered horrifically. And, you know, then Macron comes down publicly, like, condemning Israel, calling for a Palestinian state. I'm like, they had a state, you schmuck. They had a state. How did that go for you? How do you think that went? And so your answer to October 7th is, let's just give them more land. And so I love Mike Huckabee this week. I mean, He had a good joke. I loved his little zinger. He said, "Why don't you just give that? Why don't you just carve out a part of the French Riviera? That
Yeah.
would probably be a really great Palestinian
That'd be
thing.
a
Give
good
him
play,
that."
right?
I mean, but you
So.
know, but he, but Macron deserved that. He deserved that. I'm just saying, because it, like, it's just, it's like, what are you doing? Like, who are you trying to appease? It's what I don't understand. And then Spain is just, you know, the prime minister of Spain,
Yeah.
who you know, is calling for a boycott of Israel. Like, it's like Israel shouldn't be allowed to participate in Eurovision, and Israel, blah, blah. This is the prime minister of Spain. I'm just saying, I will not be visiting Spain anytime soon. I said this, you know, on one of my social media accounts. I mean, like, listen. I mean, I'll never forget this. My 15 years ago, Spain opened their doors and said, we want to
We want to
repent
bring
of
back the Jews, right?
Jews.
That
We want to repent of the Inquisition and slaughtering the largest Jewish community in the world. The,
Mizrahi Jews,
and
right?
we want to welcome you back for citizenship, blah, 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 blah. That was 15 years ago. And I'll never forget my mother's reaction when I told her that. And I remember telling her that. And like, she just, without skipping a beat, she just looked at me. She goes, "It's a trap." Like, without 2 seconds, she's like, "It's a
Wow.
trap." And I'm like, "Mom, that's ridiculous." She, no, she was right. She was
Yeah.
right. And now you've got the Socialist Party in Barcelona that has officially severed all relationships with Israel. I
Yeah,
mean,
I
and you've
know.
got the prime minister who's just like radical anti-Israel. I mean, I as a Jew would not feel safe vacationing or traveling in Spain
Well,
right now.
I've been there, so there's other places I'm going to visit. Hey,
I
listen,
mean,
let's get, because I'm really just thrilled of the two pieces we have tonight, or today, or to, we're taping tonight. That's why I say that.
you're right, because it's Shavuot tomorrow, and
That's
so
right. That's right. So let's listen to Naftali Bennett, who was on a BBC interview, and the host was insistent that Israel was starving the people in Gaza. And Naftali Bennett was terrific. Let's listen.
Israel starving the people of Gaza? Well, the quick answer is no, but check out this really intense and heated clip on the BBC where the reporter, and I use that in scare quotes, where the reporter is asking Naftali Bennett, former prime minister of Israel, about the war situation in Gaza. And it gets, check this out.
Naftali Bennett is a former prime minister of Israel, and he joins us now here on BBC News. Mr. Bennett, welcome. Where has Benjamin Netanyahu gone wrong that necessitates a new party that you're setting up when it comes to Gaza and his policy there?
Well, I think it's broader. I think we need to unite Israel from within. We need to calm things down. We need to bring security to all of our borders. We've been attacked from Lebanon, from Syria, from Iraq, from Iran, from Yemen.
So where has
And
Mr. Netanyahu got this wrong when it comes to security policy, and clearly you think he needs to go if you're setting up a new party?
I have many ideas how to do it the right way. What I don't want to do is criticize Israel's government and foreign media. Things I'll hash out in Israel. I think we should act quicker and get this done with. We had in the past wars of 6 days or 2.5 weeks. And I think with a smart, sharper strategy, we can defeat Hamas and bring home the
You
hostages.
say that you don't want to criticize the Israeli administration. Another former Israeli Prime Minister, Ehud Olmert, said in recent days that Israel is close to committing war crimes in Gaza. He says that the current Israeli administration is a gang of thugs. Do you agree?
No, I don't. The IDF is not committing any war crimes in Gaza. We're fighting a very difficult war where Hamas is using a fundamental tactic, which I call it human sacrifice tactic, where they embed themselves within schools, within hospitals, within
Well,
children, in order to maximize the number of deaths in Gaza to turn world opinion against
we've been
Israel.
reporting about a family of 9 of 11 children who were killed in Khan Yunis. They were in their own home. The IDF has not said anything particularly about that, other than it's under review. Surely you're in danger of alienating more of Israel's allies with views that you've just expressed. We already know that France the United Kingdom and Canada have opposed this expansion of the military operation there. And the British Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, has said that Israel is breaking international law by stopping aid getting in. People are starving.
Well, let's unpack what you've just said. No, people are not starving. Israel has allowed 1.7 million tons of aid into Gaza.
Since when?
Since the beginning of the war.
Yes, and the beginning of the war, perhaps.
Let me finish.
No, so, I'm sorry, but the most recent period, since the end of March, there was a blockade of aid. The UN World Food, let me just share some statistics. The World Food Programme from the UN says that 14,000 children are severely malnourished. We also understand from an organisation called Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, which is UN-backed, 2.1 million Palestinians are at critical risk of famine and face extreme levels of food insecurity because this blockade is continuing. Surely you have to get behind the idea that you need to flood the Gaza Strip with aid to help these people.
We have. During the ceasefire, we let in 25,000 trucks that had 450,000 tons of food.
Ben, I'm sorry,
hold on.
Let me finish my point.
I understand your question. I got it. Let me answer. During the ceasefire, we let in enough food for months forward. The thing is that Hamas keeps on hijacking that food, looting the food, and then turning around in order to make money. And we're not in the business of allowing Hamas to become rich. So what we're doing now is trying to separate the terrorists from the civilians. And that's why we're designating the southern part of the Gaza Strip to be the civilian area where aid will be given without limit. And in the northern part, it should be a no man's land, and anyone there is a terrorist. And in order for us to make that separation,
but by your argument, Hamas would just hide themselves in the areas where the civilians have been pushed to, where there is no shelter and often no water even.
No, but we have a fair ability to distinguish when they move through our checkpoints to pinpoint the terrorists. That's why they don't want it. Look, we don't have magic. We've been attacked by Hamas on October 7. They deliberately murdered 1,200 Israelis, including babies, deliberately. What we're trying to do, and we are not looking to continue the war. All we want is our citizens back, 58 hostages, and we don't want another October 7.
How is this helping anyone, though? I mean, even 550 former senior security figures, including the former heads of Mossad and Shin Bet, have written to Donald Trump to say that he needs to intervene because they cannot trust Benjamin Netanyahu with this anymore. They do not understand what military objectives he thinks he's going to achieve. Already, many of the Hamas leadership have been taken out, have been killed. And we heard today, and we're going to play a clip now of one hostage who's been freed, Nama Levy. And she said what she feared most when she was in captivity was the Israeli airstrikes. Let's listen to what she had to say.
What frightened me most were the bombings. First, you hear the whistling, praying it won't fall on us. Then the explosions, sounds so intense they paralyze your body, and the earth shaking. Each time, I was certain it was my end. In one bombing, part of the house I was in collapsed. Fortunately, the wall I was leaning against didn't crumble, and that's what saved my life.
What would you say to her?
I would say that I love her. I'm happy she's home. War is a terrible thing, a horrible thing. But what we can't do is allow Hamas to attack us again and again. And they say already right now, the moment they can, they're going to attack us for another massacre. We have to defeat them. We have to bring the hostages home. And we have to do it while we do everything in our power to minimize the number of civilian deaths. The numbers that you talked about, that 14,000 number of children in famine, that's a full-blown lie. When you look into the details, they're talking about imminent, but we have poured in over 3,000 calories per person, and there's more than enough. Ultimately, The question should be laid on the door of Hamas.
Donald
Why are you starving your people? Why are you using human sacrifice as your key tactic?
Donald Trump said during his visit to the Gulf states that a lot of people are starving. We're going to look into that. Is he wrong?
We should always look into everything.
Is he wrong?
I am saying clearly there is no starvation in Gaza.
We've seen pictures of children starving. We hear testimony daily here on the BBC from aid agencies and doctors of all nationalities who say the children they see are malnourished, at least, if not worse.
So we're pouring in the aid. What I can say is that a lot of things that you say or you show are not true, are fake. And it's not the first time.
How do we get these pictures then if they're all fake?
You know, on October 17th, BBC said that El Hali Hospital was attacked by IDF from Israel by a rocket killing 500. And you had a field day on that. And then lo and behold, 24 hours later, it was a
Islamic Jihad rocket, and it wasn't 500 pictures that we see.
It wasn't 500 deaths, it was 10 deaths. So it wasn't Israel, it was the Hamas and Islamic Jihad. Besides that, you got everything right. So let me just...
We have got everything right doubt, besides that.
Excuse me.
Did you say that? Did you? Sorry, I misheard you.
But what I'm saying very clearly, there's a tremendous amount of misinformation, of fake news. We do not deliberately kill anyone, ever. That's not our policy. That's Hamas's policy. We're fighting for our defense. It's messy. It's difficult. We hate it. We hate war. My own son serves in the military. You think we're happy? I've been to over 400 mournings of soldiers. It's horrible. But there's one thing worse than war. It's being helplessly massacred by an enemy who wants to kill all of us. We're not going to let that happen again, even if some people don't like us.
Naftali Bennett, former Prime Minister of Israel, thank you very much.
Wow, that was heated. And the BBC is just a disaster. But to the point of what he says, Israel does not want this war. We do not want it to continue. You can't attack a group of people, kill 1,200 of their citizens, take 200 hostages or more, and then still hold on to some of those hostages and say that you're not going to give up. And the first opportunity that you have, you're going to do more October 7th. How can Israel, just even if you don't like Israel, but put any other nation in the fill in the blank over there, how can a nation allow a group of people to continue threatening them, that say that they're going to do it again the second that they have the opportunity, and are still holding hostages? How are they not justified in trying to get back their hostages and taking out this group Hamas from power? I have no idea.
He was great. Didn't back down. I really liked that piece, Lorraine.
No, look, I think Naftali, he's solid, he's strong. He knows his stuff, and I always like to hear him speak.
He seems like a nice man. He really does.
I know. He seems like a genuine, yeah. No, I agree. He seems very genuine. However, Mike, last week, I do want to get to one thing. Well, first of all, just quickly, I do want to note Harvard, as we talked about before, the law student Barmal, who was seen and did attack Jewish students. He was the editor-in-chief of the law review for Harvard, received no punishment.
Oh, the one that
Harvard.
Got the $65,000 stipend?
Yeah, so he received no punishment from Harvard, which, by the way, and having that on your resume, that you were the editor-in-chief of the law review of Harvard, I mean, that's like one of the great designations you could have.
It's like a clerkship right. With the Supreme Court, right?
So he was criminally prosecuted. Yeah. Exactly. He was criminally prosecuted for attacking Jewish students, which was all caught on tape. And he was never punished by Harvard, and he was awarded a $65,000 grant to go work for CARE by Harvard. I'm just saying, I you cannot make this stuff up. I mean, it's insane. But I do want to get to Mike. Last week, you asked me to tell you why I support Trump.
Okay, wait. I'll tell you what, we can do that. Let's do this. Let's take a break because we've got to do that. Let's play the Douglas Murray interview. If you guys haven't heard Douglas Murray on our show before, you'll be impressed. He is terrific talking about, again, the blood libel, that there's genocide going on in Israel. Let's play that, and then there'll be plenty of time when we come back for you to, okay. to go through your Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump. Okay. Well, we'll do that after this. This is The Third Opinion. We'll get to that Douglas Murray interview in a moment, but first, have you checked out our webpage where you can hear previous editions of The Third Opinion and find out a little bit more about our hosts? And don't forget, you can get your Third Opinion wherever you download your podcasts. And now back to The Third Opinion and that interview with Douglas Murray. Welcome back to The Third Opinion. So we're going to finish up the show. We're going to have a lot of fun here. We're going to first hear from Douglas Murray, then we're going to hear from Laureen and why she really likes Donald Trump. But Douglas Murray he's a journalist. He's not Jewish. He is very pro-Israel, very pro-Jewish. And he was on South African TV where the host was determined to put out the word that there is genocide going on in Gaza. And I hope you will enjoy Douglas Murray with his response.
Think that at all that what's happening in Gaza is genocide. I think it's an unbelievable smear against Israel. I've covered that war, as I've covered many others.
Don't you think it's a self-inflicted smear against Israel?
No, I mean, I was in Ukraine last year. Are the Ukrainians committing genocide? I ask you.
What's that got to do with Israel?
I ask you, there are many wars going on.
Yeah.
Is Ukraine committing genocide?
No.
Right.
Is Russia committing genocide?
Russia is committing a war of hostile aggression, for sure. Although it doesn't seem to be attempting to eradicate the Ukrainian population as a whole, which is, of course, what genocide is.
Which is what Israel seems to be doing with
which
Palestinians.
Which is not doing.
I mean, I know that you work for Fox News. I was called by Fox News some time back to talk about the genocide happening in South Africa. And I said, there is no genocide happening in South Africa. So I was surprised that Fox could then see what was happening in South Africa as genocide and yet what's happening in Israel as...
I don't speak for Fox. The allegation of genocide against Israel, why would Israel be committing genocide in Gaza?
Like, well, what would you describe it?
It's a war. It's which I've seen up close.
Okay.
So let me just explain that. If you start a war, which is what Hamas did on the 7th of October, if you start a war, there are repercussions. There are repercussions to Russia for starting a war against Ukraine. Russia's lost a lot of troops. There are repercussions for Hamas for starting a war against Israel.
There are repercussions for an illegal occupation.
What's the illegal occupation?
Of Israel against the Palestinians.
Where?
That is an illegal occupation.
Where?
It is a determined illegal occupation.
Gaza?
Of course, Gaza and the West Bank.
Have you been to Gaza?
Yes, I have.
Is it occupied by the Israelis?
It's completely sealed off, as you know.
By who?
By the Israelis.
And who?
By the Israelis, by the US, and whoever else supports
and who else?
The Israelis. Isn't that enough?
No, tell me who else is allegedly sealing the Gaza.
The answer is Egypt.
I'm saying that Israel has completely encircled Gaza. Nothing goes in, nothing goes
Gaza
out,
has.
As you know.
Well, as you know, if you've been, Gaza also has a border with Egypt. Why do you not mention Egypt? Egypt has a stronger fence to fence in the people of Gaza
than Israel does. that Gaza has been fenced off?
No, it's fenced off, although you might note that there are more workers until the 7th allowed into Israel to work and indeed to have medical treatments and others that were considered necessary, which Hamas doesn't provide. There was plenty more people every day coming in to work in Israel from Gaza until the 7th than were going the other way into Egypt. So if I go back to this question, why do you say there's an illegal occupation of Gaza? Why did you say that?
Because there is.
Why? Well, who
Israel
is occupying it?
Israel is an occupying state.
No.
Internationally recognized.
No, it's not at all.
I want to move
that's
on.
Your view. Hang on, that's your view, and I have to correct your view.
Our views differ.
I have to correct. No, it doesn't. The facts, our views might differ, but the facts are the facts. And I want to pick you up on something you just did.
I'm interviewing you.
I know, but I I think you're uninformed.
No.
You are uninformed. First of all, you didn't say that Egypt is blockading Gaza. Secondly, you claim that It's very convenient for you to mention Israel because you've clearly got an animus here. But let me come on to the second point. As you well know, in 2005, Israeli troops ripped Jewish families from their home in the Gaza.
Had been ripped from their homes in Gaza.
I mean, how far back do you want to go? Okay. You can do the Hebron Massacre of 1924 if you want.
Absolutely.
But let me finish.
We're talking about the action at the International Court of Justice, okay?
But first of all, before we got onto that, you've got to inform your viewers.
South Africa's actions there.
Yes, but we've got to inform your viewers of the facts, and you just misled them. In 2005, Israeli troops ripped every Jewish family from their homes in Gaza and handed over all of Gaza, which was completely clear of Jews.
That was after two Nakbas, I think, in 1948 and 1967, when Palestinians were ripped from their homes.
But we can agree to disagree, but don't misinform your viewers.
Likewise.
And you can go back. Well, I'm not misinforming your viewers. I'm informing them because you're not. The point that I'm trying to make, which
Israel
you keep on...
Israel moved away from Gaza, and Gaza has been sealed off ever since.
The point you keep on trying to distract everyone from is that Israel took every Jew from Gaza in 2005, handed it over to the Palestinians, who then voted in Hamas, and to the great detriment of the Palestinian people. They have been ruled by Hamas for the last 18 years. If you want to look to the source of the conflict, look to that fact.
Okay, so how many illegal settlements are there in the West Bank? That's also illegal under the United Nations, under international law. Those settlements on the West Bank are illegal.
Which ones are illegal in your view?
In the Middle East, and every time there would be a peace agreement, settlements would pop up. And that's why we are where we are today.
Because you just did it again. You just threw in another false fact. We are not where we are today because of settlements in the West Bank that are disputed. That's not why Hamas broke out of Gaza on the 7th of October and massacred people in their homes.
You well know that Hamas did not commit the massacre
of the 7th of October because of settlements. They did it, by their own admission, because they want to massacre every Jew they can get their hands on, and Hamas has said they will do it again and again. So don't get onto the distraction of settlements. That is a second-order priority.
It's easy to fob those off, isn't it? It's easy for you to try to distract people about it, but I'm saying don't distract them from the crimes of Hamas.
Don't do that.
I'm not distracting.
Well, you are. You just said that's why they did it. You said they did it because of the settlements.
Those crimes by Hamas were repugnant.
I'm glad you said that, finally.
But what I'm saying, we've been here for some time with you going on about settlements and everything else. So we've got an illegal occupying force. We've got a situation that is making. Hamas has grown in popularity ever since this war on Gaza because Israel is making people more and more increasingly militant. So what is happening at the moment?
Do you think Hamas is making people more militant or not?
To the ICJ.
Do you think that Hamas is making people more militant or not?
Well, it's a catch-22, isn't it?
Oh, I see.
And I mean, until this illegal occupation is broken, until the suffering of the Palestinians is acknowledged, do you think
that Hamas are interested in a solution where there's any Jew in that region or not?
I'm asking you the questions.
I'd love you to answer that one.
No, we can answer it. Let's just move on.
Have a go, though.
Okay.
Do you think Hamas want a peaceful solution with the Jews?
I'm asking you the questions. We can discuss this afterwards.
Oh, no, I'd love to do this one on air. Do you think Hamas want to live beside the Jews, yes or no?
They have recently said that they would be happy to live next to Jews, but they want a two-state solution. A two-state solution has been in the offing.
Hamas has not said they want a two-state solution. They carried out a massacre on October the 7th of as many people as they could, stole a lot of hostages who you still also haven't referred to. There's more than 100 Jewish hostages still in Gaza. That's
correct.
That's real kidnapping, and that's real occupation of somebody. And Hamas has said they'd
do
it again and again.
How do you feel when you see those children who've been shot in the back of the head? How do you feel when you see those children?
The Jewish
who are
children
suffering,
or the Palestinian children?
The Palestinian children.
I feel the same on each of them.
Okay.
I think it's all a tragedy.
Okay, good.
And I think
it
it's all on Hamas.
Both sides.
I think
so
it's
let's
all
try
on
and
Hamas.
Move on.
They shouldn't have started a war.
Let's try.
There's consequences to starting a war.
That, my friend, is what happens.
Lorraine, he's great.
No, he's so solid, and I think it's pretty consistent. Like Tal Orr Cohen, Montemayor with Cyberwell. I mean, she her organization, Cyberwell, and we've had her on our show before, talked about, they had their conference this week, was talking about how like these blood libels, they do result in violence. They are.
They do. And the same thing with the online tropes against Jews. It doesn't stay online. It turns into violence.
We've seen it. We've seen it. I mean, obviously Europe has been dealing with it for a while, but we are seeing it, and we've been seeing it since October 7th, you know, right in our faces. I mean, look, I can't, the executions last week of Sarah Milgram and Yaron Ushinsky. I mean, the fact that she had 26 bullets in her body and Elias Rodriguez walks over to this beautiful young girl, and as she's trying to crawl away, and then just
and
shoots
her
point blank, and they had to kill her. You know, how manipulated and sickened must you be to just kill this young innocent girl because you think you're doing a righteous act? I mean, it is the epitome of violence. These people are so brainwashed, and we all need to be really, you know, so concerned. And then, you know, the DSA lionizing this man and like applauding him, thinking he's like a political prisoner. I mean, I saw that this week and I just can't even.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
it's time for Lorraine loves Trump because.
That's not Lorraine loves Trump. It's Lorraine voted for Trump and supported Trump because, which by the way, I would suggest everyone go listen to Jason Greenblatt, the discussion he had with Ron Emanuel this week.
Wait. If you listen to the entire interview, it's on YouTube. I watched the entire interview and Rob Emanuel made some really good points, which we'll talk about after you
but the point being is that, and why I brought it up, Mike, and let me talk without being interrupted, please.
I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I was trying to set you up.
Yeah. Is that Jason Greenblatt, you know, has a personal relationship with Donald John Trump, and he's known him for 30 years personally as an observant Jew. And I think someone with personal knowledge speaking of him, I think is very important versus all the media, you know, talking heads talking about Trump. And I think that's a different perspective and a very important one that I don't discount at all. But with that said, I mean, look, he did exactly what I voted for him to do. I mean, first of all, the first state visit he had was Benjamin Netanyahu. He made very strong statements about the hostages, and he has brought multiple hostages home. And that is key. And whether you like him or not, the hostages have, many hostages have met with him personally in the Oval Office, have praised him and thanked him, have given him so much credit for them being released. They credit him. They don't credit other administrations. They credit President Trump for getting them home, as do their families. And for me, that is hugely important. And though you question his popularity here in America, he still has about an 80% approval rating in Israel. So all of that is not insignificant. And the other things that he did immediately upon coming to office, like the first few days, he released all the aid that was being withheld from Israel for military purposes and restocking, for instance, the Iron Dome, which is really important for Israeli security, transferring the 2,000-pound bombs, an additional $1 billion in arms support, et cetera. That was all done. That was being withheld from Israel. He released that the very first week. The other thing that he took immediate action on anti-Semitism, signing multiple executive orders, including Executive Order 14188 and others, where he demanded every single federal agency, they had to submit a report within 60 days on all criminal and civil authorities immediately available to combat anti-Semitism on U.S. soil, with a special focus on activities occurring post-October 7th, emphasizing anti-Semitism, both K-12 and higher education, mandating that the Department of Homeland Security and the DOJ investigate, prosecute, and take removal actions against all, and I know you don't agree with this, but I do, all alien students and staff engaged in campus-based anti-Semitic harassment and violence, because violence is not protected. Reaffirmed and expanded the definition by executive order concerning U.S. civil rights law to enforce the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition in the Civil Rights Act. He took additional actions ordering the DOJ to protect and to quell the pro-Hamas vandalism that we were seeing on college campuses. We know that, I think over 70.
You got another minute because I got to be able to respond. So go ahead. You got one more minute. Go ahead.
Over 70 investigations of civil rights violations of the 1964 Civil Rights Act have been opened and they're being prosecuted. And by the way, all of these actions to quell and quiet this. Under the Civil Rights Act, under Title VI, the Biden administration didn't do any of it. And they could have done all of this, and they did not. They did none of it. So all this, to me, is so key and so important to what's going on. The additional sanctions on Iran, immediate sanctions upon Iran. And by the way, I want to say this. All of the investigations going on by the DOJ, but Leo Terrell, who is a lifelong civil rights lawyer, he is the one who is leading the fight at the Department of Justice. I mean, and I have so much respect and esteem for this man.
Pam Bondi is the most corrupt attorney general we've ever had.
Okay, I'm talking about Leo Terrell and not Pam Bondi.
But he's in the Justice Department. But quick, there are a couple of things I got to say before we run out of time. Go ahead.
But he is the one who is leading the DOJ on civil rights violation under the Title VI 1964 Act, going after all these colleges and universities who have failed. And he talks about it with very clear specificity, because he's like, this is no different. That if these were KKK people going after the Black students, we wouldn't have tolerated this for a second.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you. Did you vote for Trump to get cozy and play footsie with Qatar, which he said in his first administration is a harbinger of terrorists?
I'm glad you reminded me.
Did you vote for him to shake hands with a guy who is head of Al-Qaeda, who's now head of Syria? And did you vote for him to ignore Bibi when he went out there? It sends a message to the world that Israel is no longer relevant. Same thing with the Houthis deal.
He took
out the Houthis and didn't tell Israel. It's like we're pushing Israel out. He really is.
By the way, just so we're clear, Biden's the one who actually took the Houthis off the terrorist list. So let's just be clear that.
But he bombed the Houthis without telling Israel, and Israel was left out of the whole thing, just as he's making Israel irrelevant.
Israel's not irrelevant. In fact, that's why Benjamin Netanyahu was the very first state visit, and he's actually been to the White House twice by invitation.
But he flew all the way to the Middle East to do deals for his hotels and blah, 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 blah.
No, he didn't. He flew to the Middle East to work on the Abraham Accords.
And you're okay with the airplane, too?
So, what I do know is that he's working on expanding, and it sounds like Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan may actually be joined the Abraham Accords.
That would be a great coup.
Right.
I would give him credit.
And that would be huge for Israel.
But here's the deal. Whether you think he's great for Israel or not, I think he's horrible for America. And while I love Israel, I care about America more. And that's my number one issue.
I care about Jewish life here. Oh, that was the other thing. He substantially increased funding for security of Jewish institutions in the United States of America. He saw that, he understood that we were at threat, and he significantly increased the funding available to us, the Department of Homeland Security. So yeah, no, I care about Jewish life here in America, and I care about the college campuses and Jewish students. And so, yeah, no, that's very important to me.
Did I give you your opportunity to say all this? Because the music is playing.
All right. Thank you.
And this is, tonight, we're taping on Sunday night.
Right.
It's a holiday.
Yeah. Good job. Shavuot.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the wheat harvest. So, you know, Passover is all about the month, but this is about provision. This is when God gave us his Torah. It's about the outpouring, provision, abundance. We bring the two loaves of wheat and we wave them before God. We bring an offering. This is all about abundance.
We gotta
and
go. Chag Sameach.
Right.
This is Third Opinion. I'm Mike Deason.
This is Lorraine in Tampa.
Bye. That's our show for this week. Hope you'll join us again next week. And thanks for listening.